Hey, it's the big show. It's the podcast at moresportsnow.com. Steve Tichner here with Matt Lachlan. We'll check in with college hoops at Madison Square Garden. We'll discuss Rutgers' run in the Big Ten Conference Tournament and Seton Hall's chances in the Big East Tournament, which starts this week. Also, the Devils' push for a playoff spot. We'll check in with Matt on that, and it's all happening right now. I was down at the parade yesterday, Matt.
Do we need to identify the parade? If it's March, it's got to be the marching season. It's the high season of Irish culture. So
it turns out
St. Patrick's Day parade.
St. Patrick's Day parade in Belmar, mm-hmm. the first Sunday of March. And it turns out, and I was talking to a few people about this, apparently the biggest St. Patrick's Day parade in New Jersey. There was some speculation that Bayonne or Hoboken, well, Hoboken doesn't have it anymore. Because they had all sorts of problems, which I certainly can understand witnessing these parades. But apparently it's the biggest parade in Jersey.
Yeah.
So, but don't quote me on that. I mean,
that's what you've heard on the street.
Yeah,
so how was it?
On the
kind of a lousy day early. Then the sun came out.
Yeah, the sun came out late, but it was chilly. It was windy. It was, an early March day. And we seem to
get this
a lot the last few years. It's been just, there's been a couple of years where it's actually snow. But, that held off. But it was chilly and cold. It was different for me because I was at Beach House Brewery and I was normally at Bar A. I mean, I was at Bar A and I started Bar A as a kid. And even when I went to Rutgers and I was away from Bar A and didn't work there, I still went back for that parade.
It's the place.
Day. So it was really strange not to be there. I was at Beach House Brewery, which is right on Main Street in Belmar. What I was surprised about is I the volume on the street, I thought would be a lot more. I mean, I remember a time when I was a kid going there and you couldn't even get a space on the sidewalk. Now, it might have been 70 and sunny at that, back in the day when I remember it. But so I think weather is a big factor, but there wasn't a lot of volume on the street, which surprised me a little bit. Although Beach House had a great crowd. They had the second floor with the balcony, so people were watching it up on the balcony, and so there was a really nice crowd there.
Well, it does kick off. It's the first parade too, I think, in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of kicks off everything.
They have the first Sunday of March locked up, and it's been going on forever.
Well,
so
you have to, right? Because all these bands and these clubs that march. I mean, you'll get the local St. Rose of Belmar. I mean, they may or may not march in another parade. You'll always have them whenever you schedule it. But if you want some of these bands, and you always get the Union County pipe and drums and all they're all in demand this month, so you got to have it scheduled.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's never going to change.
Yeah, bagpipe players went upstairs and played. It was actually a lot of fun. The parade was once it starts, man, it's like 2 hours long.
Wow.
It went on it was a long line, so I can see how they would say it's one of the biggest for sure. But I had never been, because I was at Bar A, which is not nowhere near the parade.
No.
So I'd never actually been on Main Street watching the parade in literally 30 years. And it was a lot of fun still. Just I thought there'd be more volume on the street. But again, at Beach House was a nice crowd at Beach House.
Sounds like a better weekend than I had, since we had no power in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Three trees down on the
street.
Our
neighborhood got wrecked here. I mean, there's two telephone poles that I saw down and then up on Boulevard. You see those trees up on Boulevard?
Yeah.
They came down. Wow.
Yeah. One came into the roof of a house and one came into the fence
and then you
and
got
car
some,
next door.
Yeah. You got some big branches on your front lawn.
Yeah. It just took a while for PSE&G to get around taking care of the electricity. Two days, it's funny. 2 days seems like 2 weeks sometimes. I mean, no heat, no electricity,
Yeah,
we matched.
I feel like we were lucky. I mean, normally we have some old trees right around us, but we nothing on the with the exception of a few branches on the front lawn. But I was in Boston at the time, which was a whole nother story. I mean, we'll have a whole nother podcast for that. I mean, we're talking about flooding hotel parking lots and stuff. So it was a lot going on there. But did see Northeastern and BU
very nice college visit
with
your
my son
James.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Rutgers. Let's wrap it up the season. Madison Square Garden, the Big Ten conference tournament was there this year, and they showed up. Rutgers showed up. Listen, you know,
hey, they won two games. Give them credit. Corey Sanders went off and
he played very well.
You know, they made some noise.
They, you know, they didn't end this. They end the season with a bit of a thud, losing to Illinois, which could have got him out of the basement. But they went in as the 14th seed. I mean, Minnesota was short. They had some injuries and they had some problems, but they took care of Minnesota, and then they avenged a recent loss to Indiana and played well, and then took Purdue to the wire. Mm-hmm. Purdue's a very good team. And I'll tell you what, in the second half of that game, Purdue did not miss a 3-point. Seemed that way anyway. A handful of 3-point shots that they actually missed. And with them shooting that well, Rutgers still hung around. So I'll tell you what, it was, you know, winning three conference games all season long and then winning two in the Big Ten Conference. You know, look, they ended the season strong.
Perception is reality. And
absolutely.
And Steve Peichel will be able to sell that.
And then we'll see if Corey Sanders decides to stay. I think he should. We talked a little bit about on the last show. I think he should, you know, look, he's got a couple things in his game that he has to work on. Certainly that, you know, turnovers, he's got to work on his shooting. He can't go to his left, so he's got to work on that. There's a lot of things. But if he can, you know, if he can go come back to Rutgers and be one of the top guards in the Big Ten, he may have a shot at
yeah,
the
it'll
NBA.
Be very interesting to
but
see
right
what
now,
they wind up doing.
We agree he has really has none. I mean, he's going to play in Turkey or something like that if he
yeah.
leaves now.
And, I'm always fooled by that, right? There yeah. are guys I look at and I go, really not ready? I mean, I use Isaiah Whitehead as an example, and I think he should have stayed another year too. But, mm-hmm. you know, he bangs around between the G League and the NBA. So I didn't see it there. I don't necessarily see it with Corey Sanders. I think another year would help him, but athleticism is king in the NBA, and you know he might be able to make that adjustment. I don't think he's a future star by any stretch, yeah. but I think he has a shot.
And
that being said, let's see what Steve Peichel offers to him,
sure.
meaning, look, you've been with us through some really bad years. You can see what we're about to accomplish here. You can see what happens when the rack is alive. I've got a recruiting class that's pretty deep. You're going to be the leader, and you can be looked back on instead of the player that played on some of the worst teams in mm-hmm. Big Ten history and Rutgers history. You can be looked at as the player who led us out of the wilderness. So he might be able to appeal to his pride, but the lure of money
sure.
and the best league in the world is going to be tempting.
Yeah, and you made the point last week as well, is that you don't know his personal life. I mean, you know, right? Does he go to school? Does he want to graduate? We don't know that. And you know, he does have a daughter. But my thought is, hey, man, get your education, get your diploma, and then you know, move on. But those are personal decisions that he has to make. I just think in terms of his game, if he wants a chance, certainly domestically in the NBA at the pro level, I think another year would help him quite a bit. So we'll see what happens with that. But you'll agree that, you know, for Rutgers, it's on the up and up. It was a strong end to the season.
Yeah,
I after the troubling losses early in the season to, you know, Stony Brook and Hartford, I went off on them, and they ended up winning a few conference games and then a stronger show
better
than
last year. Not much better than last year.
Ending strong was important for Peichel. It really was, because he did have a rough season, but we'll see how they do moving forward. And let's look at Seton Hall now, third seed, right, in the Big East tournament. They won four of the last five. They beat Butler at home. They're peaking at the right time. There's a little cloud.
Played Villanova great.
Yeah,
that was a heck of a
so
game.
So close.
They always play Villanova well at home.
Yeah,
always.
They play them tough.
They don't often beat them, but
they play them tough, and you know they can
that
upset.
Was a winnable game.
They can upset them again in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, they'll
now.
Get a chance. Yeah. They got to beat Butler again.
Hard to beat a team three times, right?
Yeah.
So that's not easy.
And it
to
was
do.
A good game.
Yeah,
but. And what Seton Hall has to fight now is that they've got some injuries. Desi Rodriguez, his ankle prevented him from playing on Saturday. Ish Sinogo has an ankle injury. They're not very deep to begin with. So without those two, they become very thin. So that will be the challenge. The belief is that they may both play. But until they do, there'd be some concern because they are then really, really shorthanded.
And then the allegations that we had talked about last week with the Isaiah Whitehead thing. I mean, those are not seem not to be a distraction to this team. They actually played very well. So and they're going into, you know, hey, look, they play well at the Garden, as
this
Rutgers just did. They, you know, they play well at Madison Square Garden. They play well in the Big East tournament.
Look, the senior class is shorthanded because of the injuries I mentioned. But this is what, you know, Angel Delgado, Kadeem Carrington have been around for. They've got the experience. This will be their time. If they beat Butler, they face Villanova. Presumably Villanova wins in the semifinals. So it won't be easy. And then they would have to play, if seating holds up Xavier. So it's a long way to go for Seton Hall. But their strong finish down the stretch ensured them of an NCAA bid.
No question. Because remember, a few weeks ago, we were talking about them possibly putting themselves on the bubble. Because
They were on the bubble if they didn't finish strong. That's what we said. I mean, their fate was in their hands. And they did what they had to do.
Yes, they did what they had to do.
So they're in. It's just a matter of where they can enhance their stature with a deeper run in the Big East tournament. And I think it would behoove them to get a better seat, obviously, to beat Butler. So we'll
see now St. John's played very well down the stretch. They beat some big teams, a big win over Villanova and Duke. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there could be a surprise there for St. John's. I mean, not likely, but you know, they're in Madison Square Garden. They'll have the home crowd behind them. I mean, you got Seton Hall. Plays well in the Garden as well.
They do.
Interesting that they don't move around that conference. It's always been at Madison Square Garden with no question about moving it around. Now that the Big East has kind of expanded out to, you know, Creighton and Butler, it's still, they all got to come to New York to play that tournament. But hey, look, it's the greatest arena in the world, right?
Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed, yes. Speaking to a Devils announcer who doesn't want to hear that.
Well, I worked for Madison Square Garden Network for many years, so I was a part of the family. But it is self-proclaimed. It's not like somebody came out and said, this is the greatest. They have proclaimed themselves the world's
greatest arena. They certainly have. Well, many people proclaim New York City to be the greatest city in the world, but that's
correct.
Self-proclaimed. As well, so a lot of conference tournaments coming up here. The Big East, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on Seton Hall, and it should be exciting. Hey, when we get back, we'll talk about the Devils. They're making a push for a playoff spot. We'll get Matt's take on it. Hey, we're back on MotorsportsNow.com. Check out our site. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Let's check in with the Devils, Matt. They're in a wild card spot now. You know, just right there. They have to keep winning,
which they haven't done lately. They've lost three in a row. They lost on Sunday night to Vegas, 3-2.
Now, how good is Vegas? You got a chance to see them.
Very good.
Yeah.
And they were playing
a bit of a surprise. Vegas, no.
No longer.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I mean, at the beginning of the year,
season,
when a lot of people thought, oh, it's an expansion team. And
now you're going out to Vegas next week. That'll be fun, right?
Yeah. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. Part of a difficult road trip for the Devils.
And so let me ask you, where are they playing in Vegas?
T-Mobile.
Is it a new arena?
T-Mobile Arena.
Okay. Is it new?
Relatively.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's been around for a
bit. Cool. And what are you hearing about it for hockey?
Fantastic.
They're getting great crowds, right?
Selling out for the most part.
Cool.
I was talking to somebody.
Hockey in Vegas. That's cool.
Yeah, from the Vegas contingent yesterday. And they said that, truthfully, internally, they weren't sure how good they would be at the beginning of the year. They knew that they were an expansion team, not necessarily explaining the sport, but certainly it's not an overly popular sport in the desert. A lot of transplants who know about hockey, you know, people from Detroit and Toronto and New York have gone out there. But at any rate, so they really focused on making sure it's the entertainment capital of the world,
right?
That they have to present a product that will keep the people excited, which they've done. Now, throw the on-ice product being among
pretty
the
good.
Best in the National Hockey League, they've got a pretty good setup there. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to going out there. I think it'll be a blast. But they're a good team. They're no longer a surprise. They play fast. They are very aggressive. And they're getting good goaltending, which is the key all the time. Marc-Andre Fleury, who missed a bunch of games earlier in the year, so to their credit, they were able to get the backups to do the job, is a Stanley Cup winner with Pittsburgh. And
with a chip on his shoulder, too, right?
Yeah, I think all of them have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because for a variety of reasons, teams said, you're not part of our plans. Now, it's different than previous expansion drafts. The rules were set up to allow Vegas to at least have a chance at fielding a representative team. So the rules were such that you had to make available from your roster players that had a certain amount of experience. So you weren't getting raw rookies. You weren't getting dregs from the minor leagues. You could only protect a few players. I won't go into the numbers, but you could basically protect 11 players if you went in one format, which is more forward, some D and one goalie, or you could protect 9 players, which meant any combination of 8 players, forwards or defensemen, and a goalie. So you had to expose a pretty good amount of your roster.
Sure.
So while the players might have understood that and said, okay, it's not that I'm not wanted by Anaheim or the Devils, I'm just not in their top 10. But that doesn't mean that they don't go there and say, I've got an opportunity. I'm going to show the world, including my team, my former team.
Well, especially Fleury, because he had great days in Pittsburgh, and then all of a sudden being an outcast.
Yeah, well,
he's probably like, hey, this is a good opportunity for me.
And he also saw the writing on the wall in Pittsburgh. He had lost the starting job to Matt Murray, and he's not a backup. Right. He's still too young to be that, but he makes a lot of money. This is a salary-capped world. So you have to look to your future.
Sure.
So if you're going to make one goalie available, who is it going to be? Matt Murray, who did help backstop you to two championships and is young and relatively inexpensive? Or are you going to expose a guy who's in his early 30s who, yes, has some good days, very good days, but his best days may be behind him? So it was a matter of Pittsburgh doing what was absolutely needed.
Sure.
You know, you have no, in this circumstance, you have no opportunity to be sentimental. So they're really good. The Devils, as I said, have lost three in a row. They're just not scoring goals. They're still in a playoff position. They're only 4 points out of third, but they're only 5 points or 4 points, excuse me, ahead of the team that's chasing them down.
So this is by no means a given.
Oh, no.
You know, you've got a whole month of hockey to play here.
And they have the most difficult schedule of anybody in the National Hockey League, or at least any team that's battling for a playoff spot. They've got 16 games left. It's very tight. They've got 16 games left. Nine of them are on the road, so they don't have as many home games. They've got, I think it's 11 opponents are actually currently in a playoff spot. Now, that changes based on results, but 11 of those teams are in a playoff spot, so the competition is tough. They're on the road, so they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and Taylor Hall was on fire for a
still
while.
Still is.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing a great season so far. I mean, it's a big part of their success. Right. I mean, is he a guy who can carry them in this next month?
He has been. Oh, no, he can. He needs some other help, though.
Right.
They need to score a few more goals and they're not getting it. I mean, they scored two on Sunday. They only scored one on Friday, two on Thursday. If you can't get above two, then you have to have near perfect goaltending. And the Devils' goaltending has been good, but it hasn't been perfect. So it may be that you'll see 2-1 games in the playoffs. But in the regular season, if you get to three, you have a greater chance of winning than if you only score two.
And why the goal drought? What's going on
there? Because they don't really have, I got to be careful here, like highly skilled. They have guys who can work hard, but they're not guys who are in tight, can make magic happen.
Right.
Taylor Hall can, to a degree. Kyle Palmieri can. Nico Hischier's 19 years old, and there are times when the season you can see is wearing on him physically. He may have that ability. Oh, he has that ability. We just haven't seen it. But the rest of the guys are just really grinders. Travis Ajak's a grinder. Yeah. Pavel Zacha is a grinder. Miles Wood is a grinder. Brian Boyle is a grinder. So they've not gotten that little run where those grinders have hot streaks. And that happened earlier in the season. So if Michael Grabner, who they acquired from the Rangers, who has 25 goals, if he can find a goal, but he hasn't since being acquired. If Patrick Maroon, who they acquired at the trade deadline from Edmonton, who has a goal scoring touch, if he can put a couple home, that'll take the burden off of the top line, which has been carrying the Devils, but they need more.
Right. And so let's say that it's a good chance they're going to make the playoffs here.
I think they will. It's just that they've had this weird period since the end of January. So now 7 weeks of it where they go on winning or losing streaks. You know, lose three, win four, lose four, win three.
It's been a streaky season, right?
Yeah, and so now they're on a lose three.
We see that a lot in hockey, though.
Well, what you haven't seen from the Devils is in that streak where they've lost, they haven't gone to overtime or to a shootout and lost. So they haven't been able to pick up that extra point. So instead, I think their record is like 9-13 since then. And again, mostly streaks. Now, their record instead is 9-8-5, right? Of those 13 losses, five of them were in overtime or a shootout, and they get the loser's point for that. Well, now suddenly they have, you know, a lot more points and they've got a comfortable position. So that's where they've lost out. They haven't been able to get that loser point. Hey, it's more important to win. But the streaks have been interesting. The Devils have not had a period lately where they've gone, you know, like I said, 3-1-3, mm-hmm. you know, or and just ended the losing quickly. It's been right. streaky, and then they win again. So who knows?
Can they be a dark horse in the playoffs? I mean, they're obviously not an elite team. You can't consider them an elite team. But are they one of those teams that can that come from a low seed and do something in the playoffs?
Absolutely. And because it's a different animal mm-hmm. in the playoffs, I don't know that they have enough experience to get through it. And it depends on who they match up against. Right now, they would play Washington, a team that's very difficult for the Devils to play. Uh-huh. Just one of those things. Their size and speed gives the Devils fits. Mm-hmm. But it's about goaltending. Corey Schneider has been injured until lately, has just come back.
Yeah, so how's he looking?
Sunday night was his second mm-hmm. game back. He's been fine.
Okay.
As he gets better, mm-hmm. you get hot.
Goalie gets hot.
And anything can happen. You know? So yeah. would you consider them a favorite? No. You mm-hmm. would say Tampa or Boston, Toronto right. or Washington. Can't mm-hmm. count out Pitt, two-time defending champs. So no, they would not be.
How about
a favorite.
Toronto playing well?
Yeah, not unexpectedly, yeah. they've got yeah. great young talent.
Yeah. So, well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Let's make the playoffs
exactly.
first because you know the fans want that so bad. I mean, I think that's a lot of fans that I'm talking to are just like, hey, let's just make the playoffs this year because there's been a drought.
It has been, and from a Devils perspective, way too long. Other teams have gone a lot longer without making the playoffs mm-hmm. and have had longer recent droughts, you know.
Yep.
But like Carolina's not been in since 2009, but for a championship pedigreed organization, 5 years is a long time. So yeah, there is a sense the Devils have been in a playoff position from the very first game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been this good. Let's finish it off, get into the playoffs, take that as a learning experience and continue to build. However, a lot of groundwork has been laid for future yeah. exciting years. So even if they fall short, and it would be terribly disappointing if they uh-huh. did, even if yeah. they fall short, the fans can see what is being built here.
And it's been pretty exciting at The Rock.
It's been great.
Too,
you sell know, out crowd so, again which, last night.
Fantastic. That is great that people are coming out. And so there's going to be an interesting month, another month of hockey, and the Devils got to keep it
yeah,
up.
April 7th, yeah. the last game,
yeah,
so,
man,
let's race to it.
All right, and that'll do it for this week's podcast. It's Steve Tichenor here with Matt Lachlan. It's our weekly podcast. Check it out on moresportsnow.com, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.